إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Indeed, the best speech is the speech of Allah عز وجل, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, and the most evil of matters are the newly invented matters in the religion. And every newly invented matter in the religion is an innovation. It is not from Al-Islam. And every innovation is a misguidance. And every misguidance leads to the hellfire. Servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as it should be feared. Fear Allah Azza wa Jal and realize that today, by Maghrib time, a quarter of Ramadan would have passed. Realize, brothers and sisters, that a week of Ramadan would have passed when we reach an Maghrib today. So indeed, we need to contemplate, we need to ponder, how much have we implemented during this first week of Ramadan? How much have we strived with ourselves in Allah's obedience? How much have we been seeking reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? O servants of Allah, lead this Ramadan with more righteous actions than your last Ramadan. Make this Ramadan more virtuous and more beneficial for yourselves and your families. For indeed, we should not be heading towards completing this Ramadan in a lesser way than last Ramadan. As Muslims and believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in regarding the promise of Allah azza wa jal. So indeed, we should be pushing ourselves more and even further and compared to the last Ramadan. Indeed, brothers and sisters, it may be the case that we do not witness another Ramadan. It may be the case where we die before the next Ramadan arrives. So indeed, brothers and sisters, indeed, we need to strive with ourselves even more with righteous actions during this Ramadan. As believers in Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised a reward for those who strive in His obedience. So from the actions, brothers and sisters, from the things that you can do to increase yourselves further and in righteous actions, and also by way of preserving the reward that you attain from Allah Azza wa Jal. And regarding, first and foremost, regarding the hadith, as the Messenger of Allah, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Whoever fasts Ramadan out of Iman and seeking reward from Allah, غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه, that his previous sins will be forgiven. Now in this hadith, brothers and sisters, Shaykh Salih ibn Uthaymeen, rahimullahu ta'ala, he mentions a very important point. That in this hadith, it mentions that those who fast Ramadan are of Iman, wahtisaba, seeking reward from Allah Azza wa Jal. Two conditions that a Muslim must fulfill in his fasting for him to attain the reward of being forgiven for his previous sins. And the Shaykh mentions, and he says in the hadith where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions Iman, and he out of Iman, and it means Iman, faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the conviction of the obligation of fasting Ramadan and upon oneself, and the conviction of the great reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given for those who fast. So indeed, brothers and sisters, we need to have that in our hearts, that we are indeed fulfilling an obligation upon us. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O you who believe, indeed fasting has been made an obligation upon you, as it was made an obligation upon those who came before you, so that you may gain any taqwa. So this ayah, this verse indicates that the fasting of the month of Ramadan is an obligation upon those who fulfill the conditions. And also we know that Ramadan is a pillar of our Islam. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Bunya al-Islamu ala khams, that Islam is built upon five things. And from them he mentioned wasawmu Ramadan, and the fasting of the month of Ramadan. Now the second point in the hadith, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, wahtisaba, and in hoping for Allah's reward, the Shaykh, he mentions that a person, and he fasts, what this means, that a person fasts sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, hoping and seeking his reward in doing so. Hoping and seeking his reward and in doing so. As the Shaykh mentions, that not everybody who fasts will be forgiven for their sins, as mentioned in this hadith. Not everybody who fasts the whole of Ramadan will be included in this hadith if they do not come with those two conditions when they fast. And meaning, as he says, some people may fast with the intention that they're only fulfilling that obligation and they're not intending any the reward or to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, they will not be included in the hadith and from those who will be forgiven for their previous sins. And also from those who fast, as for them, where they come from, or what their families have taught them, that fasting Ramadan has become just a cultural practice. They do not feel that it's an obligation from Allah Azza wa Jal. They do not seek that reward. But for them, fasting has just become and a cultural practice. So the Sheikh mentions that for those any people, they are not included in this hadith as from those who will be forgiven for their previous sins. You need, brothers and sisters, when you fast, you need to have the intention of fulfilling that obligation, and also that you fast to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to earn any reward any from Him. Because for indeed, brothers and sisters, the reward for fasting is unlimited. It is unlimited. As Allah Azza wa Jal and He mentions, As-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bih. Fasting is for me, and I shall reward it. I shall and He reward it. And he in this hadith Qudsi, the scholars mention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He mentions, I shall reward it, and it means reward which is not limited. It is only He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows the extent of the greatness of that reward. Therefore, brothers and sisters, preserve the reward of your fast daily by intending to fast to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to obtain His reward and His mercy. Also, brothers and sisters, preserve your reward of fasting during this Ramadan by staying away from every type of sin. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man lam yadi' qawla az-zur wal 'amala bih wal jahl falaysa lillahi hajjah an yada'a ta'amahu wa sharabah. He said, whoever does not leave off and abstain and from every type of evil speech, from every type of evil action, and every type of transgression against the people, then Allah has no need for that person to leave his food and his drink. Because indeed, brothers and sisters, if you continue to sin during the month of Ramadan, may be the case that your sins outweigh your reward, and you end Ramadan and without benefiting from this great and virtuous month, where you have lost, where you have strived to acquire, because you could not withhold your tongue, your eyes, or your hearing. So therefore, brothers and sisters, preserve the reward of your fast. Preserve the reward of your fast by letting your limbs fast as well, by letting and allowing your eyes, your hearing, and your tongue, I need to fast as well from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the other virtuous actions, brothers and sisters, that we need to increase ourselves with is standing in prayer. Standing in prayer during the nights of Ramadan, known as Salatul Taraweeh. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man qama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaba ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbih. Whoever stands in prayer during the nights of Ramadan and of iman and out of seeking reward from Allah, then he would be forgiven for his previous sins. So indeed, brothers and sisters, do not lose out on the great reward of standing in prayer during the nights of Ramadan. It may be again that you do not witness another Ramadan. But again, a very important point in this hadith that you need to be mindful of when you stand for you to pray is that you intend to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are only standing just as a cultural practice And you forget, brothers and sisters, to place that reward, that intention, that you're seeking Allah's reward. And you have that in your heart when you are praying, that you are pleasing Allah, and that Allah loves for you to be standing in His obedience. This is the intention that we need, brothers and sisters, or else we will be excluded from this hadith and from those who will be forgiven for their sins due to their standing in the month of Ramadan during the nights out of Iman and out of seeking reward from Allah Azza wa Jal. Indeed, brothers and sisters, our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, being guaranteed paradise, he used to exert himself during prayer, during Ramadan even more. He's guaranteed paradise, brothers and sisters. He will be grateful and he would strive with himself to attain the most reward that he could when Ramadan approached. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he used to wake up his family. He used to wake up his family halfway through the night so that they may stand up and pray during the night and benefit from this virtuous month. Moreover, brothers and sisters, it is highly recommendable for you to pray behind the imam in the masjid. As Sheikh Salih ibn Fawzan, and he mentions, because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من قام مع الإمام حتى ينصرف كتب له قيام ليلة. Whoever stands behind the imam and in salah, in the night prayer, until he ends, then it will be written for him, and the reward as if he had prayed for the whole night. So indeed, brothers and sisters, encourage yourselves to pray in the masajid, to pray in the masjid behind the imam from when he starts until when he finishes. Indeed, if you do so, you will be rewarded as if you have prayed for that whole night. For that whole night. How easy, brothers and sisters, is it to acquire that reward? As Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah mentions, you pray here with the imam and in the masjid. You go home and you sleep until Fajr. You have been rewarded as if you have prayed for that whole night and you are asleep for part of that night. Think about that, brothers and sisters. Think about this immense reward. You go home after Taraweeh Salah and you sleep for a couple of hours. You are being rewarded as if you have prayed for that time that you have slept. And also, brothers and sisters, from the actions, from the virtuous actions that you should perform during the month of Ramadan is the recitation of the Quran. Indeed, brothers and sisters, Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed. And during the last Ramadan of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he recited the Quran twice to Jibreel alayhi salam. And from our pious predecessors, from our salaf, there were those who would complete the recitation of the Quran every 20 days. From those who complete the recitation of the Quran every week in Ramadan. And from those who complete the recitation of the Quran every 5 days. From those who would complete it in 3 days, and from those who would complete it every single day, they would complete the recitation of the Quran. Indeed, the month of Ramadan is a month for the recitation and the contemplation in the meanings of the Quran. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من قرأ حرفا من كتاب الله فله حسنة والحسن بعشر أمثالها. لا أقول ألف لام ميم حرف، ولكن ألف حرف ولام حرف وميم حرف. He said صلى الله عليه وسلم that whoever reads a letter from the book of Allah, then he will have a reward and he for it. And that reward will be multiplied 10 times. He said, I do not say that Alif, Lam and Mim is a harf, but Alif is a letter. Mim and Alif is a letter, Lam is a letter, and Mim is a letter. And he meaning, for every single letter that you read in the Quran, you have a reward, and that reward is multiplied by 10 times. Think, brothers and sisters, you recite only one verse. How many letters are there in one verse? How much reward are you acquiring by just the recitation of the noble Quran? But as Sheikh bin Baz mentions, the recitation of the Quran, and it should be moderate in speed, so that a person is able to ponder and contemplate over its meanings, so that he may take benefit and from that meaning and is able to implement it in his life. This is how, brothers and sisters, you are going to obtain rectification from the recitation of the Quran in Ramadan. That Quran, and in this Quran was revealed so that you act upon it. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Quran, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمْ. This Quran guides to that which is most upright. It guides, brothers and sisters, to that which is most upright. It is the criterion between truth and falsehood. So indeed, we need to ponder in its meanings and verses as well, if we want to get, we want to obtain that reward and that guidance which is found in the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal says, Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka mubarak liyatadabbaru ayatih wa liyatadhakkara ulul albab. A book which we have sent down to you, blessed and full of blessings, so that they may ponder and contemplate over its verses, and so that men of understanding may remember. So the Quran, brothers and sisters, was revealed to be acted upon. So therefore, from the manners of our recitation, that we refer to its meanings, and we ponder over it, we benefit from it, and we implement it in our actions. Also, brothers and sisters, from the virtuous actions that you should increase yourselves with in Ramadan is that of making dua, supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also to ask Allah for forgiveness and to make tawbah to Him. Indeed, the month of Ramadan is a virtuous time for dua, for the fasting person. As he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that three supplications are not rejected. And he said, the supplication of the parent, and for his child or for her child, the supplication of the fasting person, and the supplication of the traveler. So now, brothers and sisters, during the daylight hours of Ramadan, you are fasting. Your supplication will not be rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as long as you bring all the conditions and as long as you have refrained from all of the barriers that would prevent your dua from being accepted. And from the barriers that prevent your dua from being accepted is that you wear clothing that is haram, or that your provision is haram, what you eat and what you drink is haram. These are any main barriers that will prevent your dua from being accepted. So let us not lose out on this Ramadan. Let us rectify ourselves, our provisions, and let us use any our time to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dua can be made anytime, brothers and sisters, during the day. Istighfar and dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal can be made throughout the day in any situation that you are in, and except if you are in a situation where and you are, for example, in the bathroom where you cannot make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you are in your car, make the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, make dua. You go to the masjid, make dua. Sit in the masjid and make dua. You are at home, make dua. Teach your children to make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal. You have all of this time throughout the day, brothers and sisters. So indeed, fill up those gaps where we are wasteful, where we are neglectful, and fill it up with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also stand up in the night prayer and make dua, brothers and sisters, during the last third of the night, where Allah Azza wa Jal descends and He asks, is there anyone who is asking so that I may give him? Is there anybody who is asking for forgiveness so that I may forgive him? And Allah Azza wa Jal, brothers and sisters, He answers your dua. So believe in Him. And do not make dua whilst you are half-hearted. Have conviction in your dua that it will be answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that you are testing dua to see if it works or not. It does work. Have that conviction in your heart. And do not be doubtful when you are making any dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfiru li wa lakum min kulli dhanbin wastaghfiru innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin was salatu was salamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in, amma ba'd. Last but not least, what we will mention regarding the virtuous actions during the month of Ramadan, and it is that of giving, and giving in charity for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, Ramadan is a time of giving in charity, as this was the example of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was mentioned regarding him that anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ajwadu an-nas wa kana ajwadu ma yakunu fi Ramadan. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he was from the most of giving of people. He was from the most kind of the people. And he was even more giving and more kind during the month of Ramadan. He used to be outside Ramadan, he used to perform lots of actions of obedience to Allah. But when Ramadan starts, he used to increase himself in those actions. To make you understand, brothers and sisters, the example of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in giving charity, especially during the month of Ramadan, let us contemplate over the words of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, explaining how he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be giving. He said, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was from the people who used to give only the greatest of charity from that which he used to possess. And he used to not have something with him for long, but he used to give it only to others. And he says that his giving was the giving of a person who does not fear of poverty. Ponder upon this, brothers and sisters, that the giving of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the giving of a person who does not fear any of poverty. And his happiness and his joy of giving to somebody else was greater than the joy of the person who received what he had given him. Let's ponder into this, brothers and sisters, again. That his giving, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he gave somebody something out of charity, his happiness and joy for his giving was greater than the joy of that person who received and he from him. And he said, and Ibn Qayyim mentions that every time that there was somebody in need and who came to him, he used to give that person either food or from his clothing. And he said that he used to give different types of charity, different types of things he would give to the people. One time he would give something as a present. Sometimes he would give in the form of charity. And sometimes he would buy something and give it to the person. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to command the giving of charity. And he used to call others to give charity and act upon giving charity to others. There's so much so that when he used to give in charity, those who were stingy, and he would change their state, and they would now give in charity just by seeing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam giving in charity giving to the poor and the needy. So he changed the state of those who were stingy just by looking at the example of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in giving, that they used to take out from their pockets out of their wealth to follow his example sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So indeed, brothers and sisters, this is a great example for us to contemplate in regarding the giving of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this would increase even greater during the month of Ramadan. Let us look at the example of Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he commanded that the charity should be given. And Umar, he said that today I'm going to compete with Abu Bakr and I'm going to win. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he took half of his wealth, and he went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he gave it to him. And the Messenger of Allah asked him, what have you left for your family? He said, I have left an equal amount to this. Then Abu Bakr came with everything that he had, and he gave it to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, what have you left for your family? He said, I have left them with Allah and His Messenger. And Umar radiallahu anhu, and he said, I will never compete again with Abu Bakr. I will never compete again with Abu Bakr, because Abu Bakr was always the companion that was leading regarding actions of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He used to be always at the forefront, giving more in Allah's cause. So Sheikh Fawzan, brothers and sisters, mentions that indeed giving in charity in Ramadan is better than giving charity in other months. He said, because the obedience in Ramadan, the reward for obedience in Ramadan is greater. The obedience in a virtuous time, and it is greater than any of the other times. So therefore, and this reward of being multiplied is greater during Ramadan, and which Allah Azza wa Jal has placed as a season of goodness, obedience, and the raising of ranks of individuals. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we need to leave a virtuous action for another action that is more virtuous. Sometimes there is that need that we leave a virtuous action to do something that is more virtuous, or something that is more virtuous during that particular time, that specific time. And let me give you the example of Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that he had collected his provision and on his way, I need to perform Hajj, he came across a poor family and he saw their state, that they were in need. Now with Abdullah ibn Mubarak, now he had his provision, his wealth that he had collected to go and to perform Hajj. Now what is Hajj, brothers and sisters, for us, the pillar of Al-Islam? How much reward is in Hajj? Indeed, enormous. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, he decided to take his wealth, his provision, and give it to that family and return back, and instead of going for Hajj. Because at that time, at that point, his giving from his provision to that family, there was a need that is better than him going for Hajj. And of course, a Hajj which is recommended, as he had performed any Hajj previously. So there are times that we need to leave a virtuous action for something which comes in a particular time that is more virtuous and there is more need for it. This is a reminder for you, brothers and sisters, because you are now in a virtuous time in the month of Ramadan. Do not let this month go to waste. Increase yourselves in more actions. End this Ramadan with more actions than the last Ramadan. End this Ramadan in a better way than the last Ramadan. Let us not end it in a way which is lesser, where we have neglected and we have not seized all of the opportunities before us to increase ourselves in khair, in good and reward. For indeed, again, brothers and sisters, it may be the case that we won't be here to receive the next Ramadan. This may be our last. We keep on reminding you regarding this, but indeed it is the truth. It might be our last Ramadan. So let us fear Allah and increase our actions of obedience so that we may be from those who are truly successful at the end of Ramadan. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Aqimus salah.